morning. You are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi, live in studio on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo, bringing you your community stories. Canada Day long weekend, guys, and I'm sure many of you have plans to head to the cottage, to the beach, maybe a road trip, gather with family and friends. There's tons of events happening around town as well. Or just do nothing and take it easy, right? Enjoy the summer weather. Finally, we've been having some nice weather here. So whatever it is you plan on doing, it's something we all need to be proud of as Canadians to celebrate this diverse, inclusive, and great country we call home. While we sit in our comforts of our homes, not realizing how blessed we are to be in a country as Canada, which is one of the most peaceful and conflict-free places to live in the world, and a country that has more clean water than any other nation, these simple things we all take for granted. Today's guest, Maria, from Syria, doing her master's in international public policy at Balsley School of International Affairs, Wilfrid Laurier University, and Mac Annie from Ghana, doing her master's program in civil engineering at University of Waterloo, will share their experiences as they continue to adjust and make Canada their new home. Join me in welcoming these two lovely ladies, Maria and Mac Annie. Thank you, ladies, for joining me in studio today. It's such a pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, and Maria, I'm going to start with you to begin with. You take us back to the days when, you know, you were growing up in Syria. It's a completely different world out there, and many of us have seen it on the news, heard about things, but we want to listen, and our listeners want to listen too, from you, what it is growing up in Syria.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to start, like, Syria is a very nice place. Like, everyone, like, when start talking about Syria now, like, only talk about war and disruption and, the problems in Syria. But I will like just I want to start in positive things. Like Syria, one of the oldest country in the world, yeah. And it's one of the first inhabited country in the world, and it
Absolutely.
Has very old heritage. We should talk about like Syria was very peaceful before the war, and also there's a big social coherence between people. People from different religions like live with each other like peacefully. But like I don't know how things turned during the conflict.
And how old were you then?
Yeah, like
when things started to change.
Like and then about 25, 20,
okay.
27.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I did my undergrad in Syria, in accounting, then
okay.
I was working and studying at the same time.
Okay.
I was working in automotive sector, but, the situation become harder and harder at different levels, the living levels or like work. For example, I lost my job. Like there's a sanction on Syria, so that my job terminated and stayed for without working for like 1 year, about 1 year. And also, I should like highlight how every one of us was struggling in different level. Like we were going out of our house. We don't know if we're gonna go back to home and see our one of our family, or one of you're gonna in this day you're gonna lose one of your families too.
Okay, that was that's guaranteed,
like
kind
you're
of
gonna,
right?
For example, you're gonna wake up in the morning, you're losing your hands or losing your legs, or like or maybe you can. Yeah, it's not easy, you know how conflict make people.
Yeah, and you lived through that, and you saw your family members too go through some of that, right?
We lost a lot of I lost a lot of friends, a lot of like some of my family members. It was so difficult, like the feeling of insecurity, like to feel like you don't know what the future will bring for you.
And every morning waking up is a new fear, right?
Yeah, you can't think about the future. You will only think about like the day you are living in. Maybe after 1 hour you will not be in this life. So yeah, it's so scary. And like losing your job, losing like family, you don't know about what. Yeah, I don't know. It's so complicated.
How I'm gonna go to Makeni now. It's a complete different thing. And
I'm
you're from Ghana
right now. Like, I'm surprised just listening to this. I'm so sorry I had to go through this. Ghana is exactly opposite. Ghana, you literally walk anywhere you want, do anything you want. Everyone is just like happy people. Anyone. We don't agree with what the politicians say. We make it like a social media comedy. But yes, though, our voices are heard and they fix it. Like, and one thing about Ghana is like, we cherish the peace we have to the extent that when it's election day, like right after the election day, you won't see a single human being on the street. It's not like the country has declared a curfew. Nope. We just want to all be in our rooms and listen to the results. And when the results are announced, you still not see a single person on the street. You don't see anyone, literally, for like
and
one
why is
day.
That?
Because we cherish our peace. We don't want, let's say you don't agree with whatever decision the country made in getting like that president. Yeah, we might as well just stay in our homes and like absorb everything that we are going to go through for the next 4 years. Then after the weekend, you go out back to our normal lives. Literally, it's the exact opposite. I cannot imagine how you must be going through. I just realized.
Yeah, neither can I, right? Because we haven't lived it, and that's something that we hear and understand it from a visual point, from watching stuff, but living through it day in and day out is a completely different scenario altogether. And Mac, I want to ask you again, like growing up, you've come from a family of, you know, a lot of culture, a lot of unity, and it's a different bond that you've had. So what was your growing up like back in Ghana?
Okay, so
besides the culture and, you know,
everything.
Yeah.
All right, so growing up in Ghana, it's just mandatory that everyone has to go to school. And in the schools, we learn about Muslim religion, we learn about Christian religion, we learn about traditionalist religion.
Wow.
We all go for worship on Wednesdays and Fridays. And when it's the Muslims' time, we all allow them to go for their thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's...
So you are a part of every cultural
celebration. In a way,
celebration.
Yes. We all celebrate. So let me say this. The Eid al-Fitr that just passed, even though the Muslim brothers were praying and everything, yeah, we were doing the eating. But when they are done with the fasting, the last day, and they killed the fowl, the cattle,
yeah,
it's just like in solidarity, we all wear the veil.
Beautiful.
Nice. Whether you're Christian or Muslim, you all wear the veil. And it's like every Christian family has a Muslim family friend and vice versa. That when it's their time to celebrate, we go there, offer them food. And when it's Christmas, they also come to our place and eat with us.
Nice.
So that's how it is.
And you have extended families too there, right?
Oh,
and
yeah. My whole family's there.
Yeah. So what has that been, you know, and you also studied and did your civil engineering there. So... How was that? Like,
oh, civil engineering in Ghana is much fun. When I got to Canada, I realized that we've been joking with our lives. Because you know how I said everything is calm in Ghana? No one is in a rush for anything. Doing civil engineering was fun. At the same time, it was stress-free. At a point, I'm not going to say it wasn't difficult. It was, like, really difficult. But our lecturers are good. I think our lecturers provide us with the best they have. Most of our lecturers did their master's in Canada or in China, University of Hohhai, for my school in particular. Mm-hmm. And for the structural department, most of them studied in Carleton University here in Canada. So it was easy because they teach us exactly what they know. And there's a lot of, like, field practicals. Studying in Ghana was, amazing. I purposely didn't go to undergrad to just for the books. I went there for other stuff. So I was involved in different activities in undergrad, which made it so much fun.
Fun. And that is more the school activities, which were different associations and groups and cultural stuff.
Soccer group, media group, library, dinner committee, literally everything.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And Maria, you also studied back, you know, in Syria. And how was that, going to school and then you found a job in an automobile industry? But how did Canada happen to you? Like, at what point you decided, I need to leave Syria and move to Canada to, you know, either learn, do my master's or study more? How did that happen?
As I said, like, before I did the my undergrad in Syria, like, in accounting, then it was great, like, times to be, like, actually, like, when I, like, decided to study the accounting, it was not my biggest dream to be, like, in this major. I would love always to study business.
Okay.
And, like, but, like, I don't know, like, it was not the very right decision to take at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, after that, I have got an opportunity to work while I'm studying. And, like, I got, like, a lot of experience and to be, I was very fortunate to be, like, in this kind of job, because you will meet many people to understand, like, new environments.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, after the war, like, I started to get more interested in humanitarian field, because, like, because you should be part of this, like, disaster, what's happening, you should take part of your social, like, responsibility.
Mm-hmm. You feel a sense of responsibility, right? You live there and you want to do something back to the people who are going,
like,
through.
As educated person, you will be, like, more, like, maybe took a step back and, like, think more, like, rationally and, like, try to help people from different parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I worked with internally displaced people with some, like, organizations there then, and also, like, there was some with Junior Chamber International. Like, I worked as some development project during the war for empowering women and the children, like, affected by the war.
Okay.
Then, like, but at the end,
so doing that in watching those kids and people, it does take a toll on you too, right? So how did that play into?
Yeah, like, it was, like, very, like, it's very, like, horrible, because, like, I feel like I was fortunate because I feel live in the city, but those people living in rural area, most time they don't have education. They, like, sometimes the girl, like, have, they should have to, early marriage, they don't have access to education. It's really horrible. And some of them, or some people, for example, they only bring like children, and they don't register them. Like sometimes they are all numbers, not like as the names.
Yeah, they just have a number to go with, right? Yeah. After a point.
So I will say, like, as a youth in a time of war, I am as, like, my story is similar to many, like, young Syrian.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them, like, lost their education. Like, you will find, like, many, like, big number, about half of Syrian university students, like, lost their education.
Okay.
Because of the conflict, and also, yeah.
So how did did you apply for a scholarship while you were there?
I have like my uncle living in Canada, and I have the opportunity to apply for a private sponsorship here.
Okay.
So I came as a refugee to live in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So. Because, like, you don't know what's, like, even, like, you are working or you don't know what's happening after it. What will happen for the country. What the education is bad. Mm-hmm. Everything is bad. So you should, like, think about different
options.
But at that time, you will not know. Like, is this the right decision to take? Should I go out of my country? Should I stay? What is the mm-hmm. right decision? Like, no one knows.
Right. So what made you take that bold step to leave everything that was back there and come back? Because you don't know if you'll see those people again, right? You still have family there, do you?
Yeah, I have like a big family there, and I have my niece and nephew, Marla and Mark. I love them a lot.
Oh.
Yeah. And they applied too, but they didn't accept it here to Canada. But Well, yeah, what I made me like to take this decision is, I am very ambitious person.
Mm-hmm.
I love to, like, I will think, like, I will blame myself if I didn't, I will not take this decision, because I should try. Mm-hmm. I should take the risk. I should go and try, because if I will say for myself later, you lost this opportunity.
Maybe you don't want to regret that at some point. Yeah.
And this is Canada, like, the peaceful place to live. I should go and should try, like, so that's why. And also, like, my brother was like part of this decision. Like, he is always think, we should go. Like, we should go to peaceful place. We mm-hmm. should like try it. So I would love to stay.
Start
with
a new life, right?
Yeah.
So you applied for it's a student funded humanitarian initiative, right? So did that happen?
Okay, I arrived to Canada in 2017. Then I was not sure what should I do, from where I should start. Then I always trying to look at the scholarship in the internet, and there was like page about like advertising about a scholarship through organization called Jusur,
mm-hmm.
with this the meaning of the name is bridges.
Okay.
This organization try to make bridges for students who lost their education or their career. So I tried to, like, I read about the scholarship. The idea from the scholarship was amazing. Like, I felt that I should be part of this. It's called 100 Syrian Women, 10,000 Syrian Lives.
Okay.
That's mean, like, we are like 100 Syrian women will contribute to rebuild bridges and like influence other students and people's lives.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, I applied to this scholarship, and like I found then this scholarship is a part of initiative at Laurier University.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the International Student Overcoming War, ISO.
Okay.
So
that's how you applied in.
Yeah, I don't know anything about like Waterloo before. I don't know it's existing in the map.
And I'm sure Mac would agree too, because how did you end up in Waterloo?
Yeah.
And what made you girls pick Waterloo? And Mac, I want to hear from you too.
So
how did you pick and what made you decide to do your master's here?
Okay, so I just wanted to do my master's in Canada, but if I'm going to do it in Canada, I have to do it in the best universities.
Mm-hmm.
I applied for, so I used Higher Times Education, filtered universities according to top 10 in Canada, and Waterloo was like number 7, so I applied for all the top 10.
Yeah.
And I got into like 5 of them.
Fantastic.
But then, I don't know, okay, I think I chose Waterloo because they knew what they wanted.
And you chose the right places,
yeah.
Girls.
The other schools were trying to say, hey, I know you need me, you need us, so do this if you want to come. But Waterloo was more like, we need you, come. That kind of thing. And everyone wants to have the sense of need, like, you are important in our community. Victoria was so nice, the graduate assistant for civil. She said she did literally everything. She literally applied for my visa indirectly, because at every stage she would direct me, give me a contact to go to the embassy, do this. It's So I felt like these people want me in their school. So I declined the others, accepted, and just continued. I didn't know anything about Waterloo. I was sad.
Isn't this place fantastic? Like,
it is
such a wonderful small city, but it's the hub for tech.
It is.
And it's such a community-based city where everyone's ready to help everybody. And
about that, it's
we'll get there.
Yeah.
Yes, but you know what? I guess tap the right one. But yes, I want to hear from you. So you moved from Ghana and you came here all by yourself.
Yeah.
You had to say goodbye to your family for some time, and that must have been a hard thing to do.
Oh, it wasn't a hard thing to do at all. I kept on telling them from undergrad second year that after undergrad I'm leaving, get used to it. After undergrad I'm leaving, get used to it.
It must have been hard for them.
Yeah, it was, because I was barely at home. My undergrad is a whole region on its own, like it's a whole region. So let's say I live in Ontario, but my undergrad was in Manitoba, kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't usually go home until it's Christmas vacation or like the long summer break. Yeah. And I kept on psyching their mind. Yeah, I do miss my little sisters. And I think they do miss me. They said if I don't come home December, they've disowned me. So I'm like, yeah.
So you have to go see them in December.
It has
then
to come up somehow, some way. Yeah.
So, Maria, for you, like, you chose Waterloo, but you didn't know where it was. And did you first arrive in Waterloo, or did you arrive somewhere else in Canada before you got here?
Yeah, I first arrived, I arrived to Moncton because my uncle lived there.
In
so
Moncton?
I went with my brother there. So I lived for a few months there. It's very quiet, a nice place to live there in Moncton. But like the scholarship was like offered to me to come to Wilfrid Laurier, Moncton. Sorry, in Waterloo. So yeah, like I was never like heard about like Wilfrid Laurier or like the I wasn't thinking about that, like, yeah.
Same thing. When I got Waterloo, I was like, what is this? Like, I know it's a good school, but what is Waterloo? Everyone knows University of Toronto, everyone knows McGill.
Yeah.
Where am I going to? I googled Waterloo. It was like a small thing on Google Map. Population was less than 200,000. I was like, oh my god, what am I putting myself into?
Yeah.
But
so what was your expectation coming in? You know, it's vibrant in Ghana, it's all about music, dance, culture.
It's boring. Yeah. It is super boring here. There's nothing to do. I think the Laurier students have much fun than the UW student. I don't know. Everything is boring here. All the students do here is just to drink and smoke weed, and that is not fun. In Ghana, we hardly drink or smoke weed. We actually have fun with music, standing at the beach. in the water dancing, not because we are high or anything, because that is called fun, literally. Mm-hmm.
The definition of fun is it's so not, different for so many people,
it's not about weed,
right?
And yeah, drinks. It's about the music, the people, laughing, skateboarding, like teasing people, throwing people in the sea. That is fun.
So as international student, how easy was it to adjust to this place? And the education system too is very different, right? From where you girls have studied and come, and to the education system here. So is it, how different is it for it you, for both of you? I'm going to throw this out to both of you.
Personally, it was the worst nightmare. So in
Ghana, what way?
Let me start from the scratch. Ghana was colonized by the British. Mm-hmm. So we speak British English. We do British curricula. Canada is Canadian English, Canadian curricula.
Mm-hmm.
Civil engineering in Ghana is based on the British Standard Code or the Euro Code. Canada is Canadian Standard Code. It's two different things altogether. And I could sit in the class and I'll feel like I'm dumb. Like, it's not because I thought I was the first of my class in my university, but why am I getting this here? It was totally different. One time I was supposed to design a two-story building. And you know, in British code, British English, two-story building means ground floor, first floor, and second floor. In Canada, two-story building means ground floor and first floor. I'm like, so I was penalized for that. The English we use, we call campus. You guys say campus. We call it faculty. And here, faculty is the lecturers, but as the lecturers are called senior members, and the students are junior members. So I can say I'm going to faculty. Okay. So my first week, I'm like, I'm going to faculty, and everyone is looking at my face. I'm going to... Yeah, then my friend was like, no, it's campus. I was like, oh, campus. So who is, what is faculty here? They were like, the lecturers are the faculty members. It was huge. It's drastically different.
It is different. And do you have, for you, Maria, what was the learning, the education part, what's different from, you know, the Syrian style of learning and here? So did it take a lot to adjust to the learning styles here?
Yeah, I will say the same. It was like, when just arrived, it was like the most difficult, station my life. I was just, what bring me
what
here?
Is this?
What I'm doing here? What I'm doing here? It's totally different. Different. The expectations.
Mm-hmm. Because you come with those expectations, right?
Yes.
But do you seek mentors? Do you have people?
Oh, I did.
Both of you did?
Yeah, I would love, for example, the language is, for me, was big obstacles. I came with a good level of language, but, mm-hmm. At the end, the academic language is a little bit, it's a little bit, so, difficult. So, mm-hmm. you should, and people speak different accent, and you should, pick up with them. And also, the education system is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so... But I should, at this time, from the discussion, I'm going to say, how I got my support. ISO helped me a lot as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
They, at different level, personally, they give us, big support as the... I am one of 13 students coming from different, area in the Middle East, suffering from the conflict. For mm-hmm. example, Egypt, Palestine and Syria.
Okay.
All of, ISO, supporting us, dealing with us as a family. They pick up from the airport, they preparing the place where we're gonna live.
Nice.
They come and visit every time. I should the responsible person that I should mention them, Gavin mm-hmm. and Meg. They are as a family, as a I was not imagining that I will find family here in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And also the educational part, also my professors were very understandable, the language barrier. They always for example say, we are caring about your success.
Yes.
They were tolerance. Also my colleague in the and the program. They were very supportive, like, because they were like with me, like understandable, understanding my challenges. I feel like without those, all these people, I couldn't like be now here.
Okay. Yeah. So, and that plays a huge part, right? You mm-hmm. need that support, leaving everything. You're coming to a new country. You're learning new things. Having that mentor, having someone to talk to, having someone to go to, plays a huge role in transitioning into where you want to be in the future. And Mac, with you too, you've had good support.
Yeah, the lecturers here are amazing. Lecturers, TAs, they are. So one time I sent an email to a prof saying that I'm going through a lot of things, so I really don't know what was going on in the class, and it was 1 week to exam. And he was more disturbed than I was, literally. He booked appointments for me, a mental health appointment. He booked financial aid appointments. He booked tutoring section appointments. So, like, the whole week, we had coffee for the whole week in, like, the grad lounge. He sat me down from page one to the end of it. Then when he's done, he'll call his colleague and make sure I attend the mental health council.
What a wonderful then, ladies.
Amazing. Oh, my God. Like, back home. Okay, back home, there's nothing to think about. So, yeah, it's understandable if that kind of, maybe I didn't experience that thing home. But here, there's also the African students page. When I came, I like to be involved in activities. So, mm-hmm. I tried to get involved. So, on the convocation, mm-hmm. orientation day, the African students were all around. So, I introduced myself. They put me on their platform. They'll help you get accommodation. One time I felt sick. I just put on the platform that I was sick, and about six people came to my apartment to carry me to Grand River Hospital. It's good to have like associations, small associations
that it people really are ready helps. To help with.
It really helps. Yeah, it helps. When I got here too, my roommate was kind of bitchy, but then, yeah, it wasn't like cool because I already don't know anyone here, mm-hmm. and it was just my first 2 days here, and she was just all over the place. So
do you get homesick at all with all when you know at times when
yeah about that all the time
you get homesick, eh?
all the time then we make a potluck with our African friends, then we just talk about what is going on today. Ghana is playing football against Cameroon, so go sit down and meet with the Cameroonian students and just argue about football and eat like drinks and stuff whilst watch the football and place a bet. Whoever wins, we take the money.
There yeah. you go.
That is fun.
That is fun, yes. And when you get homesick, like, how do you cope with stuff like that? Do you talk to people? Do you, like, what would you suggest you girls representing as international students for someone else looking to apply and come and, you know, they miss home? I'm sure they have tons of questions for you girls if they know what yeah. you've been through. So what would you tell them, like, for people who come here who struggle, who
if you are coming here, don't forget to bring your local food. My suitcase, I was supposed to bring two suitcases. One suitcase was full of clothes and the other suitcase was full of local food. Not like already cooked food, but it's processed in a way that I could like just ready to go. So that's one way to overcome homesickness. Other ways, I have a group of five friends mm-hmm. that we just meet once every week. Like on site, we met yesterday. We just cook the local food, play local music, make video calls with our friends back home. Yeah, so it kind of like eases that kind of homesick thing, because for the moment you're having fun and you forget that you miss Ghana.
You do. And what about you, Maria? What do you do? When you're homesick, you miss family, you miss the time, the culture. What do you do?
Yeah, like also like I will always talk video calls with my family back in Syria and my uncle here in Moncton, my brother, and I will be surrounded with I have a lot of Syrian like friends here.
Because I know at one point you did mention that, you know, your friends here in Canada will never understand where you come from or what you feel. So do you ever share your stories with them?
Yeah, like I wrote this, like about these sentences, like before when I was like when I applied to the scholarship.
Okay, and but things have changed.
Yeah, but now I feel like no, they will understand. They understand. They totally like caring. They share with me my struggle. They trying to support me. Even Canadian, like not only I'm talking about like Syrian
friends.
They have like Canadian friends. They totally understandable. They always like asking. They yeah. Like I feel like we should like. It's not like easy like to come to here to any new place. It's moving from the new country to new
culture,
language.
Yeah,
like living family maybe in conflict situation. Like it's not easy. Like
it's not.
Yeah, but no.
So
like,
talking to people, does that ease
it does.
The stress from you girls too?
But at the end. You should power through it. Mm-hmm. You should like things coming from you inside. You should like find like you. No one can make anything for you at the end. Like you will always be supported with like good people. But you should like
self empowerment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You should empower yourself to strive through it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I couldn't agree anymore. And you girls have come. You know, like shining stars here. You've been through. So much, and you've left so much and come here. So you came here early on. How was your first Canadian winter? Because snow,
oh yeah,
cold. You don't go through any of this back home. So
I have been through winter before.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah, but not this Canadian winter.
It's different.
I was so afraid that I got one of the best Canadian jackets, Columbia, with the insole thermal thing, reflective thing. So it reflects back your heat, your body heat. So when I'm all geared up, I'm like all good to go. It was amazing. I got like a $200 boot. I spent almost $700
on just the Canadian winter gear.
Canadian winter gear. And I might say, like, for people coming, invest in that. If you're going to stay here for more than a year, invest in it.
Because it's
going to be every year of your life if you are going to be here, for how long you're going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so cold for me, genuinely. Just because I was all geared up, all the way up, you could just see my eye. My fingers, everything was all geared up. I didn't really shiver as compared with my friends. I could actually see my friends shiver quake. No, like even before the Columbia jacket, I wear about 2 layers in there before.
Mm-hmm. So winters are hard too because it's gloomy, you can't go out much, you can't do things. So how do you cope with, you know,
winter makes me
because
lazy.
That it does and
makes me sleep.
Do you try different activities in the winter outside?
I tried ice skating with Melanie. Oh my God, it was a horrible experience. I kept falling down all the time because I've never done that before.
Absolutely.
And I want to learn everything. I tried field hockey. And I just realized that if I can't do ice skating, why am I going to do field hockey? It didn't make any sense. So yeah, it was freezing. That was when I felt cold. Because anytime I fall face flat and my skin comes in contact with the ice.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What about you, Maria? How was your first winter? Like, not your first, but how was winter for you here?
Yeah, like when I just arrived, like I found, like I just always asking my uncle, how do you live here? How you survive like 29 years here? I can't imagine. No, but this my second like winter, I felt I'm okay after bringing a good jacket. And like
it's all about the jacket.
Yeah,
genuinely, it's all
it's
about
keep
the jacket.
Warm and you're good to go, right?
It is all about the jacket. Invest in the jacket. Mm-hmm. If you're going to stay here for just 6 months or just for the winter, then you can buy a less expensive jacket.
Mm-hmm. And there are different, you've done some searching for deals and stuff. I've seen some of, you know,
my
your posts.
Yeah,
you're always talking about, you know, go on Kijiji, do stuff. So what do you have to suggest to students who are looking for
So everything has about 4 different prices. Before I buy one thing, I check everywhere. So my winter jacket, even though it was $450, I got it for $150 at SportCheck. So I said, I wrote on my African page that I need a winter jacket. Who has a discount coupon? About 4 people gave me their discount coupon. That's fantastic. I added it all together. And it dropped the price all the way down to 75%.
Wow.
Kijiji is very cheap. So, furniture, when I was moving, I needed to finish my apartment. I got almost my whole room finishing. Bed, mattress, table, chair, dresser, everything for $200.
So, would you say it takes an effort from the part of the students like you and Maria to also kind
of smart.
Be smart and... Yep. You know, go out and seek for help. Ask for help if you don't know things.
Yes.
Right?
You should. It's always good to ask for help. Like, so you can't just assume the best and the worst of everything. And don't assume that you're in Canada, so everything is supposed to be the best. Sometimes they're actually scamming you. They won't tell you it's a scam because they know you are new here. They'll just tell you, oh, this is the best price in the market. And naively, you just go pay for it. And after you pay for it, you just realize that, oh, you've been duped. Always ask for help. Even if it's not someone from your culture or anything, I think Canadians are really nice with that. You can ask anybody, oh, where did you get this Mac from? And they'll tell, oh, so I got it from here for $60, but you can go to this side for $30. I think that that thing about Canadians are very good. They would always give you all the options available. Depending on your budgets, you choose from whatever you want. So you should always ask.
That's great. And you've had the same experience,
yeah,
Maria?
I totally agree. Like people, students, they always should go and seek for help and ask like what's going on. Like because people here are like eager to help, ready to help at that any time. Like they just like when you ask a small question, they will keep like explaining and explaining and like yeah, give you many options and like and open many doors. Like you will not thought about it before, but just because you ask. People here are very nice, very nice. Yeah,
wonderful. And what's your plans for Canada Day here? Are you girls celebrating? Are you gonna go see the fireworks?
Fun facts about Canada Day. So in Ghana, 1st July is Republic Day.
Oh, nice.
So there's going to be a Ghana Toronto festival because we both share the same day, so the Ghanaians in Canada might as well just have fun, double fun.
Yes.
So that is my expectation for Canada Day. My friends and I will go to the beach, Grand Bend, then we go back to Toronto and go celebrate the Ghana Toronto festival.
Yeah. Wonderful. And what about you, Maria? Do you have plans for Canada Day?
Like today I have like a beach like plan, so I'm gonna go I started my plans from today.
Nice.
Then I think I'm gonna go like I'm gonna see my Canadian friend where they were like I have my colleague in the school. They are planning to go and celebrate and see the fireworks, so we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Like UW is doing huge, it's Columbia Lake.
Yeah,
and this year is supposed to be one of the best fireworks they've ever had, and it's always been fantastic even before. So if this is their best, it will be the best. So
we would.
I plan on going, so hope to see you ladies there. Any last words for the students? Now I just have one other question that I want to ask you both. So your program that you are in, Maria, is about policy development, right? Where do you see yourself heading after you're done school, and where do you see your future?
Yeah,
like in Syria, I understand you had mentioned you couldn't see what tomorrow brings. Being here, can you see that?
Definitely I see like there's a many opportunity. Like I am in a place always like about development. Like my program is international public policy. I'm doing it in at Balsillie School. We are like trying to work on the global issue. And I can like for example work in with the civil society. I can work with the Canadian government. I can work with the UN. Like I can I have many opportunity to do. Like but for now I will finish in December. So maybe I will try to find like internship with the government. Try to like, yeah, it's not clear yet what's gonna the next plan would be. But like, yeah, I found like I know I am from my inside. I know I have like very it's the coming is very nice.
Nice. So, yeah. That's good. And what about you, Mac? Where do you see once you're done your master's here? Are you planning on, like, where do you see your future here?
Okay, so after I finish in, this is my last semester, actually.
Okay.
So I'll graduate in October. But before graduation, I need to get that iron rank. All the Canadian engineer students got it. So then I apply for professional engineers. I think it's the key to getting a full-time job here.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm working on finding lots of job, but aside that, I'm involved in global warming.
Yes, and you are campaign. Quite an activist on the climate change. So tell me a little about that.
1 year with WASCAL, West African Scientific Study for Climate Change and Adaptive Land Use. So I worked on projects such as, you know how our roads are all paved with bitumen and asphalt and all those stuff? I worked on a project that will convert like any amount of water that falls onto the ground would seep into the like the groundwater. You know, Waterloo solely depends on groundwater. Yeah, so if we are able to recharge our groundwater, then we might, there'll be less chemicals and we'll preserve our rivers and the nature, like the land itself will be preserved and we'll be using what is already in the system to reduce climate change. Less cutting down of trees, just recycling everything we have, plastics. I'm really a huge thing about plastic. Thank you for the glass mug.
Yes,
it was
I'm not into plastic, and that's our little step towards
exactly.
You know,
every
eco-friendly
household. Yes,
yes, every step, every person takes that one step. Don't bring plastic bags, do not use
exactly
plastic. it's a step forward.
Every household should at least do something in their little way, but back home that is the challenge. We are not ready for plastics. We are not ready. In fact, we are not even thinking about globe. We are the ones getting much affected by this climate change because it is so hot in Ghana.
It is
super hot. The sun, this Canadian heat is not heat. It is super hot in Ghana. But I feel like since we are the ones getting directly affected by it, we should as well do something as a country. So my like working in Ghana for 1 year under that organization, we are just trying to create awareness. We try to ban the use of plastic bags to serve food and everything. Mm-hmm. It became a whole disaster in the country. The market sellers were like, no, they don't have any option. It should be plastic bags. We even provided a reusable bowls.
Is it because there's lack of education on that?
Yes, there's lack of education. So the new generation, which is my generation, mm-hmm. is fully aware of it. But we are not the market sellers. And our older generation, that's our parents' generation, they're about 70% not educated. Mm-hmm. So it's just a few percentage of our parents' generation that knows this. And the 70% that we are trying to educate them on are not willing to change. They are used to their old ways. Okay, if you're going to use the plastic, when you are done, we are giving you a container. Put all the plastics inside. They'll throw it in the garbage somewhere, in the river
somewhere. It's a mindset too there.
It's a mindset. Then every June, it floods and kills people in Ghana. And we keep on telling you, it's because of you putting the garbage in the drains. That is why it's flooding. It's
so
the mindset.
So your work here towards the climate change and things, do you think that would help you take it back home and kind of help educate
so
them?
I'm actually studying structural engineering here, more of like building buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But then personally I'm trying to incorporate, find a way to use buildings to make it eco-friendly. So if we could in our building, if we could have some materials in the concrete that would absorb some amount of ultraviolet rays, just every little thing to help global warming, it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to be in two areas right now, both the structural area and the water and the environmental sanitation area.
That's just fantastic. And Maria, you went to Ottawa to present. So what was that about?
Yeah, like during my program, I worked through two different projects. One of them was MCRS about asylum seekers in Canada and mm-hmm. how we can go work to change the narrative about asylum seekers in
yeah.
Canada. Then the other project I worked with different students from different program. I was working with the two students from global governance and one PhD student working on populism in Europe. How Canada can help Europe to
be less populated? Yeah,
nice.
So this opportunity I can at the end work through 9 months, then we go the whole school to Global Affairs Canada and we present our finding. But this goes through different stages. They we develop our projects in different steps. So
okay.
Yeah.
So nice.
So we went and worked on present about populism in Europe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So it's been such a pleasure having both of you here and
chatting with you.
Yes. And all the best for the areas you have chosen, the path you've chosen, and wishing you nothing but the very best. Thank you, Maria and Mac, for sharing with our listeners your amazing journey and putting certain things into perspective for all of us here, our listeners, including me. And, you know, we complain a lot, but we don't see how much better we have here. Yes. So thank you for that. And next week, Saturday, July the 6th, we, in conversation with Rashmi, will not be programming. And we will be back the following weekend, Saturday, January the 13th. I will have two other guests, Peggy Dietrich and Kira Burt, whose love for books and reading has taken them on a completely different path that makes a difference in this community. So tune in to CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo, or you can even listen live online on radiowaterloo.ca at 9 a.m. Again, it's Saturday, July the 13th, to hear these women in our community share their stories, because we are all storytellers in our day-to-day lives. If you have a story to share or want to email me, you can send it on air with rashmi@gmail.com. It's onair with rashmi@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Facebook, and it's In Conversation with Rashmi, or my Instagram page, it's @rashsanj. It's RASHSANJ. Until then, have a great weekend. Hold on to your near and dear ones. Tell them how much you love them. And happy Canada Day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine. Stay safe. Stay happy. Thank you for listening In Conversation with Rashmi.